grace is about more than eternal life. It's about starting to live that new life here and now. It's about seeing change that makes this life today worth living. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thanks so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. As we head into this final message in this series called Extravagant Grace, I'd love to spend some time with you chatting a little more about the new life that you already have in Jesus Christ. So let's head into God's Word, and please do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you dive deeper into God's Word and draw closer to Jesus. Imagine that you've been in jail for the last 20 years, a prison sentence that was the consequence of all that you'd ever done wrong in your life. And finally, one day, comes the day for your release. You step outside, fresh new clothes, into the bright sunlight, and finally that jailhouse door just kind of clangs shut behind you for the very last time. Decades of prison routine, locked in a cage, as it were, and today, at this moment, you're set free. How do you feel? What struggles are going on inside, coming to grips with, well, with this newfound freedom? What do I do now? How do I live? What does freedom actually mean? My hunch is that for someone who's been in prison for a long time and now is set free, those are questions that would reverberate inside for weeks and months, even for years afterwards. Going from captivity to freedom would, of course, be wonderful. But on the other hand, coming to grips with this newfound freedom is going to take time. It's a process, not an event. Over these last few weeks, we've been spending some time together looking at God's extravagant grace, the amazing things that God has done for us. Today is the last week, the last program in this series. And I want to go on and look at the fact that God just doesn't give us eternal life. That's fabulous enough. But God wants that eternal life to begin now. The point of God's extravagant grace is that we can begin to live a new life now. Today, we're going to climb the Himalayas of the New Testament. At least that's how one commentator describes the small passage that we're going to read today from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Roman Church 2,000 years ago. The Himalayas of the New Testament. In other words, the pinnacle, a place of wonder and glory, and a place where we can soar above the valleys below. We have spent a lot of time looking at the central problem of life over these last few weeks, the problem of sin. And the reason for that is that it is the central problem. God deals with it so incredibly decisively on the cross. He sees it as being so important that he sends his son to suffer and die a brutal death to pay for our sin, to fling open the door to God, to give us access into a wonderful, intimate relationship with him. And that forgiveness is fantastic. But with that forgiveness comes a whole new life, a clean slate, a fresh new start. If we want to understand grace, we just kind of look at Jesus hanging there, bleeding on the cross, brutalized on the cross for you and me. That is extravagant grace. And we step into that grace by faith. Earlier in that letter of the Romans, in chapter 5, verse 1, Paul writes that very thing. He says, since we've been justified through our faith, in other words, since we have right standing with God through our faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But stepping into that grace is a bit like, well, it's a bit like stepping out of that jail, a jail of our own making, a jail of the soul and the spirit, a jail in which sin kept us bound up. Now God forgives that sin. We step out of that jail, out there into the bright sunlight of his extravagant grace. But now we have to come to grips with the fact that we have a new life. So let's go to this Himalayas of the New Testament. Romans chapter 8. If you've got a Bible, go and grab it, open it up, go to Romans chapter 8. Come and climb the Himalayas with me to see what Paul writes about the freedom and the new life that comes through this newfound grace, free from all the rules and all the guilt that bound us up before. Let's look at it. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Paul writes, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for the host who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit." You see, for all the time before Jesus came, God's people lived in his promises, but they had to follow the rules, the law. See, rules don't actually help us. They just tell us what we're doing wrong. That's what Paul's saying here. Jesus came to do stuff that the law couldn't do. The law doesn't solve anything. It doesn't fix the problem of our sin. It simply helps us to know that we are sinning. The rules are what condemn us. Instead, Jesus comes and solves the problem. And it's a problem that he solves through his outrageous grace. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man. That's what he did. Jesus solves the problem that the law couldn't. But do you see the end bit of that passage? It begins to talk about a different life. This is for people who don't live according to the sinful nature anymore, but according to the Spirit of God in us, leading us and guiding us and challenging us and stretching us, instead of being led by our own desires and passions, being led by God himself. And that freedom requires change. Otherwise, the thing that got us into jail in the first place will drag us right back there again. That's exactly what Paul goes on to say. In Romans 8, chapter 5, he says, "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it. But those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God." Paul's talking about what we would call changing our minds. Setting our minds on the things that we desire, or setting our minds on what God desires. It's a simple choice. And there are simple consequences: death or life. But how do we get that life? How do we stand on top of Mount Everest and look out on the glory of God's creation and know that we are one with him, living our lives for him, delighting in him? Where do we get the power to do that? Because neither you nor I can climb that mountain on our own. Paul goes on to tell us in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 9. He says, "You, however, are controlled not by that sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ, but Christ is in you. Your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." See, the very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, when we accept God, that same Spirit brings new life into us. Theologians call it sanctification. I call it rehabilitation. When we've been in an accident, you know, you can't do rehab on your own. You go there and someone with the skills and the ability and the wisdom takes you through the process of rehabilitation. It takes both the physiotherapist and the person. They have to cooperate. And it's the same with God. He doesn't want us to do it on our own. He wants us to allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit of God. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. But it's not according to the sinful nature to live according to that. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you'll die. But if you live by the Spirit, you will put to death the misdeeds of the body and you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You didn't receive a spirit that makes you a slave again, a slave of fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're his children, then we're his heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, so that we also may share in his glory. That's an awesome thing. That's what the extravagant grace of God is all about, setting us free and then being there in the thick of it to help us live life. I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. As we take this short break, I'd like to tell you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you draw closer to God. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional with a scripture verse and some words of inspiration, hope and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. God's Word, fresh for you each day. It's completely free. To get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, freshdevotional.org. You'll see that Fresh Devotional sign up right there at the top of the page. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is freshdevotional.org. So go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. Living life in the power of the Holy Spirit is the most amazing way to live. It's the only way to live. He gives us the power to be holy. He gives us the wisdom to live our lives for Christ. And there's something else. The Holy Spirit is getting us ready for what is to come. He's getting us ready for a future glory as we live for eternity in the very presence of God. So let's dive into God's Word right now and take a look at that future, the future that you're headed to by God's amazing grace. So much of life seems to be a trade-off between enjoying ourselves today or sacrificing in the here and now for something in the future. Any athlete training for the Olympics knows that. Any student studying at school knows that. Anyone in the process of losing weight definitely knows that. Anyone saving to buy a home knows that. Anyone putting money aside for their retirement knows that. It's a pattern that's repeated over and over and over again in life. You sacrifice now, you reap the rewards later. And yet, when we hear the gentle whisper of God's Spirit in our hearts, calling us to him, calling us to give us our new lives and to give those lives over to Jesus who died for us, all we can think about sometimes is, oh, what's that going to cost me? Well, if I follow Jesus with all my heart, it'll cost me this and that. No, I don't want to do that. Sometimes we don't even think about it that clearly. We just kind of reject a boots and all surrender to Jesus because of the cost without weighing up the future. It's true, isn't it? We're so focused on the here and now, it's a here and now kind of world. Think about it. The economy, the share market rewards what? Current earnings. Sure, they look at projected earnings in valuing a stock, perhaps the next quarter or the one after that. But people don't much think about long-term value anymore. It's what I can get out of it today. The consumer economy, buy this, buy that, get my fix today. I want it now. Buy it on credit. Buy it any way you can. Have it all now is the message the advertisers throw at us. But what about next year or the year after? What about a future, a career, a life, an eternity? What about that, huh? I was sharing the other day on the program that recently I've lost a bit of weight, a lot of weight. Now, I've got a slow metabolism. I love my food. I grew up in a European household. I learned to cook early on. So I was carrying around this weight, and I always rationalized it away. Oh, well, you know, I'll do it one day. Well, I just turned 49. Next year I turn 50. How many one days are there for an overweight 50-year-old working as long and as hard as I am? I went to the doctor and did the blood tests, and he said, listen, you want cancer, you want a stroke, you want diabetes, you want liver disease, you want heart attack, keep doing what you're doing because that's where you're going. Weight significantly increases the risk of all of those, particularly at my age. The blood tests just had a few warning signs in them, and so I made a decision now. I either lose weight or I die young. It's a simple choice, for me as an almost 50-year-old. It was a decision between eating and drinking whatever I wanted today and dying young, or making the sacrifice through diet and exercise and living longer and healthier with more energy. Took me a while, but I chose the sacrifice. And I've been back to the doctor, and he said, Bernie, you've added at least 20 years to your life. Every pound was a sacrifice and a struggle. Do you think it was worth it? Absolutely. See, we need to get away from being so here and now focused and lift our gaze and think about the future, especially about eternity, because that's a huge future. Eternity is a very long time. And God, by his grace, has made the most wondrous provision for eternity. And yes, there are some struggles and some sacrifices here and now. And we've been talking about those over these last few weeks in this series called Extravagant Grace. I'm going to finish that series off today with a glimpse of eternity. Come with me and see what the Apostle Paul has to say about that very thing in the context of God's extravagant grace. Come on, Romans chapter 8, verse 18. He says, I consider our present sufferings aren't worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. The creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed, for creation was subjected to frustration. Not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that's seen isn't hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait patiently for it. I love the way Paul describes that tension between the here and now and what is to come. Today's suffering and sacrifice and tomorrow's glory. Even though we can't see it, we hope for it. We've all felt that, the burdens, the tiredness sometimes, the longing for eternal rest, a future with God in Christ forever and ever. And this present time, he says, it's almost like a time of childbirth, pains and pangs, going on for what seems to be like an eternity. And you know what we want to do? We have the overwhelming desire sometimes to end the suffering. We feel like there would be a whole bunch less suffering if we just go with the flow. Live life, enjoy life, eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die kind of lifestyle. And yet look around at all the people living that sort of a life. And there's no deep satisfaction in that. What's the answer? Jesus Christ, God's extravagant grace, all heading towards an eternity with him. We long for that. We rejoice in that. We hope for that. We take that joy and we let it grow in our hearts. The joy of knowing where life is headed, the joy of knowing God's eternal perspective, paid for and purchased by Jesus on that cross. Extravagant grace. What extravagant grace. Let that grow in your heart today. Jesus is the answer. Grace is the answer. The whole world looks at this from a different perspective. We get to look at it from an eternal perspective. We get to put today's suffering in an eternal context as a step along the way to eternity. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. So the end game is the glory of God for eternity. God wants to bless us now, but that's just a shadow of what is to come through God's extravagant grace. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. I just want to take a moment during this short break to share something truly important with you. The grace of God isn't just a concept. It's not just a theory. The extravagant grace of God is meant to have an impact in your life. It's meant to help you lay hold of the new life that God has ready and waiting for you through Jesus Christ. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called Extravagant Grace. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you lay hold of the grace of God in your life. So to request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com, and you'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. But this is the very last week that this particular booklet will be available, so don't miss out. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. I'm going to finish up this series that I've called Extravagant Grace, back where we started off at the beginning in the first program a few weeks back. It was sparked by a pastor in Bukavu in the Democratic Republic of Congo who wrote to me recently, and this is what he said: "We appreciate very much your programs, but many of our people are traumatized by war. They have become like children in their thinking. In reality, they need some milk teaching to grow up as children Christians, as well as meat teaching we are feeding them as adult Christians." And that really made me think how easy it is to gloss so quickly over the centerpiece of what Christianity and what God is all about. The gospel, the good news, the fact that God created us. We turned our backs on him. And what we deserve is death. We deserve eternal separation for him. And yet he sent Christ. He sent Jesus. And Jesus came to pay the price so that we could have a new life now and an eternal life forever and ever. It's a wondrous story, a story of extravagant grace. But so often, you know, we fail to make the connection between God's story of extravagant grace and our need for that grace. So often, we have a need in life. Things aren't quite going right. We're not satisfied, or we have problems in relationships, or we're looking for a blessing from God and it's not coming. And we chase our tails round and round and round, trying to have that need met, that need dealt with, that need fulfilled. We chase after this. We chase after that. We consult this person. We consult that person, never making the connection between the problem and the cause, the symptom and the disease. I lived most of my life like that, truly, until finally God got my attention and said, "The problem in your life, Bernie, is sin. The problem in my life was that I had rejected him. And no matter how many aspirins I took to stop the pain, no matter how many band-aids I stuck over the top to stop the bleeding, things weren't going to change until I let him deal with the disease. And so I gave my life to him. I turned away from all the things that I'd done wrong. And so many people, they think religion's going to do it. Rituals, rules. No, those things don't work. The only thing that works is God's forgiveness as we accept Jesus in faith and what he's done on the cross. And then God sends his Spirit and puts his Spirit in us. His Spirit brings the deep healing. His Spirit transforms our lives. I know. When it came to being a sinner, I was a sinner amongst sinners. My life was so low, so selfish, and yet there in that place, he reached out to me by his grace through his Son. Perhaps that's what he's doing with you right now. I don't know. I don't know where you're at, but he does. And I want to pray with you right now. If you've never accepted Jesus into your life, if you've never put your faith in him, you can do that right now. Why don't you pray with me? Father, I just come to you. I've heard the message of your extravagant grace. I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. Please forgive me. I turn away from them now. I believe that Jesus has died and risen again, that you forgive me. I believe that you send your Spirit into me now. Father, I don't understand everything, but today I give my whole life to you in Jesus' name. Can I encourage you, if you prayed that prayer, to get with some other Christians in a Bible-based church, to worship God, to live your life for him, and it'll never be the same again. You'd be amazed with what God will do and how he will use you. We're never too old. We're never too this or that. He is a God of extravagant grace. And my prayer for you is that you will let that grace work out in your life. He will do so much more in you and through you than you could ever have hoped for and imagined. God is a God of extravagant grace. Pretty much all we have time for today. But before I go, there's something very important that I need to share with you. Our passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer in a rich, dynamic, powerful relationship with Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you to check out the treasure trove of practical, relevant, and life-changing Bible teaching available at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. It's full of free resources to help you draw closer to God. So dive into the Media Lounge to watch our weekly Christianity Works television broadcast or the daily fresh devotional videos. Everything's been conveniently categorized so that you can filter the content to quickly lay hold of just the teaching that you need for what you're going through today. Remember, everything on the site is free, including that booklet I mentioned earlier, Extravagant Grace, and the fresh daily devotional. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact in your life, to bring you His joy, His peace, and His power. So go on, head across to our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time next week, with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.